been good tonight just to gather and see you. It's just been a blessing to my heart to see the different ones that have come in and all that the Lord has allowed us to think about and sing about. It's just been a real blessing for me. I hope it's been for you as well. I pray the Lord just continue to bless us for the little time we stand before you tonight. I have a passage that's been on my mind for the last couple days. Thought I would use it this morning, but ended up in another place. And feel like tonight this it's where the Lord is leading me. So if you will turn with me into the book of Daniel, chapter 4, I'd like to begin there and probably read quite a bit tonight. So if you have your Bibles and can follow along, it probably would be of a benefit to you. Daniel chapter 4, I'll begin right reading at verse 1 of Daniel chapter 4. There are 37 verses in this chapter, and all of the chapters involving one story, one message, one thought about what occurred to Daniel, to Nebuchadnezzar as the king of Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar was a real peculiar character in the scripture. It also seems strange to me just to think about, of all the people that, if I had any choice about it, that I would have chosen to write any portion of the Bible, I don't believe Nebuchadnezzar would have been at the top of my list. I would have thought that Babylonian king, which by his own words was a worshiper of idols and false gods, you wouldn't ever think that he would be one that God would use in any way to pin that, to write down his word. And what that does tell us is that God chooses things a lot different than you and I choose. And God's choice is a lot different than our choice. And we're not to question him. God works his will, and among the army of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say, "What doest thou?" Which, by the way, is the words of Nebuchadnezzar. And we hear them so often quoted by old Baptist preachers. But even in this chapter, you'll find that verse written. But we read right in the beginning of chapter 4, and it's clear that this is Nebuchadnezzar, who's, whether Daniel recorded it or pinned it down, it's the words of Nebuchadnezzar. It says, the first verse word is, "Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you." And I believe Nebuchadnezzar is writing this after the Lord had dealt with him in a powerful, powerful way. And I believe that the words that are coming out of his mouth right here is a whole lot different than what they were prior to the Lord working in his life. Think about what you say and talk about now. I dare say if you the words that are coming out of your mouth and the thoughts that come out of your heart because of what the Lord's done for you are surely a whole lot different than they would have been had God left you in the state that you were in without him. And here Nebuchadnezzar, and I believe we can establish that from the scripture here, had been dealt with by the Lord. And he's desiring something. He said, first of all, that all people and nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, I believe in that known world at that time, but I believe also by inspiration of God, that's talking to us tonight. He's saying to us, "Peace be multiplied unto you." And that sounds a lot like New Testament language, doesn't it? Where you hear the Apostle Paul write over and over, "Peace, grace, peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." And Nebuchadnezzar doesn't say that, but he's about to tell us where his, I believe, peace was coming from. He says, "I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me." Now, there are some important words in that verse. This is the high God that wrought something, and he didn't just wrought it anywhere. He wrought it toward Nebuchadnezzar. He wrought it toward him. And as you read this verse, you and I would probably not want the Lord to deal with us in the same way he dealt with Nebuchadnezzar, though if he did deal with us that way and we had the same need that Nebuchadnezzar had, we'd be as happy about it when it was over as Nebuchadnezzar was, as he is in this particular place that he's telling us about it here. He said he thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. I thought about the psalmist, I believe he writes in Psalm 92, if I'm not mistaken. That little verse right there at the beginning, it talks about the good. He says that I thought it good to show the signs and wonders. Well, it is good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward you. Now, you have a lot of that God has wrought in your life, a lot of that God has done in your life. We've talked about some of that tonight. I've shared some things with you tonight, and you, I believe, in response have shared things with me. Isn't it good to be able to share how good the Lord's been? And you just look and think about tonight how His hand has been on your life, how He's dealt with you, and how He's been with you, and how He's supplied down through the years. Sometimes you didn't even know what He was doing, and maybe we're complaining about what the Lord, how He's led you, and how He's brought you along this path and that path, and how as a result of that you've met this one and that one, and how even in the hardest and the most difficult of circumstances, God was in those things many times working out things that you and I didn't even have a clue about. And in some cases, we thought, I'm going through the hardest and most difficult time that I've ever experienced. And yet in that midst of that, God was working His good in your life. And here in Psalm 92, it says this, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord." That's what we're here for tonight. Verse 1 of Psalm 92. It's a good thing. In other words, he said, "I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought towards me." Listen, it is a good thing. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar was about to give us here in this fourth chapter of the book of Daniel. He was showing forth God's loving kindness. It's going to seem strange as we hear in what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. It's going to be strange that would be God's loving kindness. But His loving kindness not only comes in the blessings that we get in a good way in our life, His loving kindness really comes to us in the chastisements that we face. Sometimes in the midst of the troubles and the tribulations that we face. Sometimes we go through those hard times and we wonder, why me, Lord? Why am I having to go through this? And yet in those things, God teaches you and allows you to grow and allows you to see and know Him a little better and a little closer so that you're so much better able to thank Him and praise Him. And is it not a good thing tonight just to come and thank Him? You know, somebody said, why go to church? Well, if you didn't have anything to do but come and thank Him for everything He's done for you, that would be a reason to come. I believe there's a lot more reason than just that. But one of the main things we do is to thank the Lord. And we're here to show others and show one another. I'm here to preach it. You're here to hear it and talk about it and fellowship it and amen it. How good has the Lord been good in His loving kindness to you? Well, can't we all say a hearty amen to that? And we're here to show forth His loving kindness. And we do it in the morning. And then His faithfulness. Oh, aren't you glad He's faithful? Listen, God will never leave you. You know how I know that? He promised not to. He'll never forsake you. He'll be with you in every trial and every trouble and every situation all through life. He is God. And what's good about God is He's a big God. He's a great God. Nebuchadnezzar learned he thought there was a lot of gods in this world running things. He came to find out there was only one God, and that was the Most High God, and that God wasn't like any other God. He knew a little bit about that before he really knew it. He knew before the Lord really, you see, he'd already experienced that with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which were, by the way, Babylonian names that were given to three of the Hebrew children that Nebuchadnezzar thought he could name them better than their Hebrew names. And so he gave them Babylonian names, and he even gave old Daniel a Babylonian name, Belteshazzar, and he named him after his God. You know, there are some occasions where I'm walking along in this world, and I know there are many other ministers, old Baptist ministers, who've experienced this. And someone who's well-intentioned and meaning well will accidentally call an old Baptist preacher reverend. And they mean well, they mean to show you respect. But that thing just kind of, when I hear it, it just kind of goes, whoo. Because you know what I know, the Bible says holy and reverend is His name. And that means He's the one who deserves that name. Now, I don't take offense from folks, you know, because they mean well. They don't mean to say anything. But the old
The title for a minister given in the Bible, the word for a minister is either an elder or a bishop, and one of the better words that is given to him is servant. And that means he's not really high or exalted above anyone. There's only one who's holy and reverent, and that's the Lord. And don't you think old Daniel didn't have trouble when every time he heard that word that gave honor and glory in a sense to a false god, he didn't call himself that, but the king called him that. And he called him that over and over and over again. And Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. And the king, you see, the king thought, remember in the place where the king had them, and he had that golden image that he set up for himself. He had a real case of Nebuchadnezzaritis, so to speak. He just thought he was all that. And he set up a golden image, and he's going to have everyone bow down to that image and worship the God that he would have them worship. And he said, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego would not bow, and they would not worship. And he got upset with them, and he said this: "Oh, what God can save you from this fiery, fiery furnace?" I'm telling you, old Nebuchadnezzar found out there was a God who could save them from that fiery, fiery furnace. And Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego had faith to believe in Him. I hope tonight you and I have that same faith given to us to be able to believe in Him if nobody else in the world sees that and knows that. But by the way, God has always reserved unto Himself a people that do know Him. He has a people that will be faithful to Him here in this world. I'm glad to know that we're not dependent on ourselves, but we're dependent on the Lord. This could get big and long tonight. I know some of you might be a little worried because we started a little late, but we'll try to move through it as quickly as we can, and when the time comes to stop, we'll just stop. I hope we will. I'll try to do that the best we can. He said, "It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High." I tell you, it makes me happy to come to church when we can sing praises unto His name. Makes me happy when we can come and pray together, and when we can express the needs of a congregation, and you can hear all these things that you feel so helpless about and so far out of your control. Isn't so much of your life just out of control where you know you don't have a handle on it and you can't keep it together? And it's always been that way, but as we grow older and weaker in this world, we realize there's more and more that we don't have control over. I want you to know we're talking tonight about a God who doesn't have a sparrow fall without Him. Who doesn't have, there isn't a raindrop that falls on this wonderful earth that He's not in control of. He's the one who's in power. He's the one who's in authority. He's on His throne. And Nebuchadnezzar knew this. We ought to know it. His dominion is forever and ever, from everlasting to everlasting. And His kingdom, there is absolutely no end to His kingdom. The kingdoms of this world come and go. The Babylonian kingdom at that time was one of the greatest kingdoms that had ever been on the face of the earth or ever has been on the face of the earth. But there was a kingdom more mighty in that day than the Babylonian kingdom, and that was the kingdom of Almighty God. And that was there in that day, and it's present here in this day, and it'll be forevermore. And one day the Lord's going to come and gather His kingdom out of this world, and we're going to be forever with the Lord. Isn't that good news tonight? In this old troubled world where kingdoms may come and go, we've got a king that will be king. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's what the Apostle Paul told to the young preacher Timothy. And here Nebuchadnezzar says, "I thought it good." I think it's good too, Nebuchadnezzar, "to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me." I say each one of us tonight could spend a long time talking about what the Lord's done for us. Couldn't we? And oh, isn't it wonderful to think about it? It's a good thing, isn't it? And if you want to spend some time talking good things, let's talk about that when we get around the table. Let's talk about that. You know, we talk about a lot of stuff sometimes that tears us down, that causes us to get weak and causes us to get feeble and causes us to have all kinds of things rise up in us. You'll never have any problem if you're walking along in life's road and you're living your life and you're talking in your homes and in your families about how great things, the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me, toward us. And that's a personal God. Listen, what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary wasn't just for a general group of people, maybe to get somebody. And specifically and particularly, He died for every one of His children. He had you in mind when He came here into this world, if you are His child. And when He died on the cross, He died for you. His blood was shed for you. Yes, it was shed for the entire elect family of God, but it was shed in particular for you. Listen, His love just wasn't in general in hopes to get somebody. His love was particularly designed for each and every one of His children, and there's not anything that will ever separate one of His children from that love. That's a love that was shown particularly to you. And just as it was, I believe, to old King Nebuchadnezzar. Somebody said, but that old king didn't deserve it. I'll tell you what, neither do you and I deserve it. It was grace that gave it to Nebuchadnezzar, and it's grace if you and I have it tonight, and it's grace that's given it to every one of His children. Listen, salvation isn't by what we deserve. Salvation is by His grace. And I am very, very thankful for that. And He said this. He said, how great are His signs, and how mighty are His wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and His dominion is from generation to generation. That means, you know what that means? That means the Lord's still on the throne tonight. He's not left it. And whether the election goes this way or whether the election goes that way, God's still going to be on His throne when the election's over. If the world stands. God is going to be on His throne if the world is gone. He's never going to be anywhere else but on His throne. He's high. Old Isaiah said it this way. The year that Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. That means His glory filled the temple, I'm telling you. And He fell down like a dead man before Almighty God. You know what hearing about the Lord and His greatness will do to us? It'll humble us. And of all the things that old Nebuchadnezzar needed, he needed a dose of humility as much as anything. And you and I need that same thing. He said, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house, verse 4, and flourishing in my palace. In other words, I'm getting along in this old world, just going along, just coming along. Everything was good. My kingdom's flourishing. Everything's growing. My kingdom's getting bigger and bigger. It's getting larger and larger. I have more and more control. I have more and more power. I have more and more wealth. I have all things just seem to be going real good. And everything's just going so wonderful. And my mind and thoughts are far away from the Most High God. That's exactly where he was. And he says, all of a sudden, I saw in the dream. He didn't say all of a sudden. He says, verse 5, he says, I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. You know, isn't that something, the way the Lord can just mess up your nest? And you're going along in the way and everything seems to be going wonderful and smooth, and you know, and that doesn't happen with us very often, but we can sometimes get in that way, and if we're blessed that way, the Lord can stir up your nest. He has a way of getting your attention. He has a way. He was here loving Nebuchadnezzar enough that he wasn't going to allow him just to continue on in that course of action that was not giving praise and honor to Almighty God. You see, Nebuchadnezzar would have been nothing without the Lord giving him the place that he was in. And by the way, he gave him that place not because that Nebuchadnezzar was so much. He gave him that because the children of Israel had been disobedient. As you read over in Jeremiah 25, you'll read about the rise of Babylon and why they were there. And the reason they were there is because God had warned his people over and over that your ways are evil and your actions are evil, and if you continue that way, I'm going to bring this upon you. And what was brought upon them was the captivity that was brought. They were brought under the captivity of Babylon because of their refusal to bow themselves before Almighty God and listen. And isn't it true in our lives, in a timely sense? I'm not talking about an eternal judgment. But in a timely sense, if we sow to the flesh, we're going to of the flesh reap corruption. And if we sow to the Spirit, we'll of the Spirit reap life everlasting. There is blessings and obedience in this time world. And there are chastisements that come in disobedience. Now, don't get this wrong. Because whether it's a blessing or whether it's a chastisement, in a sense, it's a blessing when God gives it to us. Because if you get a chastisement, it's because we need it and there's something to learn from. And if we get what we consider a good blessing, which all blessings are really good, it's just the way we look at them. Whichever way it is, it's all a blessing when it comes from the Lord. And he said this. He said, I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Here we are having shared with us what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. He's telling us about what we have up through verse 3. He's telling us there in verse 3 about the wonderful works. And here we're seeing the wonderful works of God in the life of Nebuchadnezzar. And he had this dream. And so in order to find the answer to this dream, did he go to Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego? And he didn't, did he? He went first to the wise men of this world. You know, God's little children in this world mess up when we start going to the wise men of this world for our answers. When we start looking to the world and the ways of the world and start trying to find our peace when we're troubled. The Lord may have troubled us. And we go like, where am I going to find an answer? And a lot of people have turned to a lot of places. I heard this weekend a brother mention there's a lot of God's people in a whole lot of trouble in this world because they're trying to find the peace that they could find at church and listening to the gospel out in this world by satisfying themselves with the ideas and the thoughts of this world, in some cases the religion of this world, in some cases the other things, the entertainments of this world, and all that the world offers. And I'll tell you, as a little child of God, you can never have enough of that stuff out there in the world to give you true peace. The peace is just fleeting at best. And I know we've all tried to find that. We've all tried to say, I'm going to have a good time. You know, if I just smoke enough of this, I'll feel better and I'll get rid of that. Or if I drink enough of this, I'll feel better and get rid of that. Or if I go after enough pleasure of this world, I get enough of that, I'll feel better. And yet, instead of feeling better, you get worse. Some think, well, if I can just do enough good works, then I'll feel better. And that work system is just as addictive as the drugs and the alcohol of this world. Trying to work good enough and be good enough and behave good enough that I'd be acceptable with God. It really comes down to this. We have to recognize that we humble ourselves before Almighty God and trust in Jesus and what He has done for us. And there is the place we'll find peace and rest in our life. And what the Lord has done for us. When you rest in Jesus, you can truly rest. If you rest in yourself and what you've done for the Lord, you're not going to have any true rest. But Nebuchadnezzar, he went to those places. And guess what? Those folks couldn't help him. It says, then came in the magicians. You could see them coming in. And the astrologers. They are the ones that, you know, there are a lot of people today that just hardly won't leave the house unless they look in the paper and find out what their horoscope is saying to them and how good it's going to be today or whether it's going to be a bad day and all that. I'll tell you, those astrologers are still around just like they were in that day. Let's learn from this lesson. They didn't help Nebuchadnezzar, and they're not going to help you. They're not going to help me. And so, you know, they can say what they want. Don't dabble in those things. He says this, he says, the magicians and the astrologers and the Chaldeans, they were wrapped up in all kinds of idol worship and all kinds of little trickeries and those kinds of things. And soothsayers who depended on demonic forces and evil spirits to lead them and guide them. And you know, as we talked about the wild Gadarene, the devils that went into those hogs didn't do them any good. He certainly won't do us any good. Those hogs went over into the sea and drowned when the devils went in them. And so if they'll do that to the hogs, you know what they'll do to us. And they will certainly not lead us in any good way. So that's not where to go. But he called all those in, and they did not make known unto him the interpretation thereof. And time is gone, and I'm on verse 8, and that's 37. And I'm really trying to get there. He says, but at the last, I've had a good time talking about it up to this point, and thank the Lord for that. He said, but at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar. And I'll guarantee you, every time Daniel heard that name, it hurt him. He didn't like, he was a slave. Listen, if he could have called himself anything, it wouldn't have been Belteshazzar. He wouldn't have been given any glory to Bel, some false god that had no power or no might. But he wasn't in control of that. And so he was submitting himself in the eyes of Almighty God to that the powers that be, knowing that God would take care of it. And I'm telling you, I believe God did, don't you? I believe He brought him even in that horrible place to a place of prominence, just like He did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And by the way, that wasn't their name. It was Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. And I think I pronounced those right. That was the Hebrew names. It wasn't. We know them as that, but they were their Babylonian names. He said, but at last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar. And listen what he said about it. According to the name of my God. And by the way, it wasn't the God of heaven. It was a little G-O-D. And then he goes on and he says, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods? And before him I told the dream, saying. Now remember, he's giving the account of where he was before he saw the power of the Most High. He's given the account of what he was thinking about as he called in Daniel. He just thought Daniel was special. He didn't know why Daniel was special, but he knew he was special. He knew Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was special. He just didn't understand all about why they were special. He didn't understand why Daniel would act the way that he did and behave like he did. He wouldn't eat the same meat. None of them would. They wouldn't eat the same food. They were given the king's food. We would all say, oh, I'll take the king's food. They said, no, we're not going to eat the king's food because we're not going to do that. We're going to just give us pulse. Just give us pea soup or beans, lentils, whatever that is. He said, just give us pulse to eat. And when they did that, they fared better than all the king's men. They wouldn't eat the same thing. They wouldn't act the same way. They wouldn't pray the same way. They wouldn't do what others did. And he didn't understand them. Sound like anybody you know? I'll tell you what, we as God's little children in this world today, especially those that are identified as the body of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to look different, we ought to act different, we ought to talk different, we ought to behave different, we ought to worship different, we ought to practice different, and not different just for different sake, but if we're going to follow the Lord, we can't go with the king's meat. We can't go with just everything. We have to follow what He says in His Word. And He said, according to the name of my God, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and before whom I told the dream. He says, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians. Now that was a double insult. He said, not only did he say, you're from Bel, which is my God, which he was not. He wasn't certainly the master of magicians, because he didn't get any power like the magicians did. You know what he was saying? He says, you know more than all of them. And I don't know why. I just call you the chief, one of those. He just didn't know where his source was coming from, what he's about to learn. He should have known because he had seen it. But you know, he didn't get the lesson the first time, so God dealt with him. You know God will do that. If you don't get the lesson the first time, He'll give you the lesson the second time. You get tired of hearing what the preacher's preaching every Sunday. You say, preaching the same thing. Maybe there's something to do. Maybe there's something you need to hear. Maybe it's something you need to put on. Maybe it's something we need to wear. I don't mean to say you, but you know what I'm saying. Sometimes we wonder, why am I hearing that same message everywhere I go? It's probably because God has given you that message and you need to hear it. In some cases, we need to do what He said. Anyway. He said, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. He knew something was in him, but he didn't know where it was coming from. And these words tell us that. And he says, and no secret troubleth thee. Isn't that good? You know, no secret trouble, Brother Daniel. Because when he didn't know something, you know what he did? When that first dream, he didn't know what the dream was. Remember that in chapter 2? He didn't know what the dream was. And he was supposed to give not only what the dream was, but the interpretation of the dream. You know what Daniel did when he was having to do that? He went to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's their Babylonian names. And he said, let's pray to the God of heaven, who is the one who can allow us to know what this is. And as they prayed to the Lord answered that prayer and gave him not only the dream, what it was, but the interpretation of it as well. And old Nebuchadnezzar should have known that, but he still gave a credit to the spirit of the holy gods, plural. And no secret troubleth thee. Tell me the vision of my dream that I have seen and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw and behold a tree. And I'm not going to nearly get to all this. So I'm going to conclude with this. I'll tell you what happened to old Nebuchadnezzar. He was taught a lesson by Almighty God in that dream that his kingdom was great. And that he had a mighty kingdom, but that it was all going to be taken from him.
and that he and his great might and power would lose all of that position and all of that authority and end up like a beast in the field wandering out, eating grass like an animal. The heart of a man was taken from him. He was given the heart of the beast. And he lived for probably, it could have been 7 years. It was seven times, whatever that is. It was a complete number of times. It was the time sufficient for him to realize he wasn't all that. See, Nebuchadnezzar thought he had done so much and had was so great. And even though God warned him, he still fell into that. I wish I had time, but you read it and study and see what that says. It's just a wonderful lesson. The beautiful thing that I love to see is after he had learned that lesson, then you can come back to the first part and read what I talked about right in the first part, and you can see that Nebuchadnezzar was giving God the thanks. Not only was he giving God the thanks, he wanted you and I to know that if a man exalts himself, God's able to bring him down. Isn't that good news tonight? I'm thankful that when I get to bed, big head, God can knock the stuffing right out of me and allow me to see what I am before him. And then give me the ability to humble myself before Almighty God. And the Bible says as we humble ourselves tonight before God, you don't know where you're at or what you're doing. You just humble yourself before Almighty God and He'll lift you up. He'll exalt you. He'll give you what you need. We don't need to know the answers. We don't need to know all that's going to face us in this world. We just need to be as little children, trusting and depending upon Him. Depend upon Him for heaven and immortal glory, because He is the way and the truth and the life. Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life. But also depend upon Him for every single thing in your life. And anytime we get the high-mindedness and the big-headedness, you better believe it's going to bring heartache and trouble in our life. And God will bring us, He will abase those who exalt themselves. I'm not done, but we're going to stop. I appreciate your kind attention. I give you homework. I want you to read that fourth chapter and look at it. Because what he did for Nebuchadnezzar, you would think, somebody said, this is what happened to me. And you think, well, boy, God really treated you rough. What God would have done in treating him rough was if he'd have left him where he was. If he'd have just left him there. If he hadn't have taught him the lessons that he did, with all the trouble that he, no doubt, you couldn't imagine what he went through. But if he'd have left him where he was in his high-mindedness, that would have been far worse for Nebuchadnezzar than God dealing with him and then allowing him to see things and learn things and the way that he dealt with him. So when he got through with that, he really realized who it is that's blessing me. I'll tell you, do you know who's blessed you this far? Do you know that? If you know that, you have been greatly blessed. Because there are so many, even of God's children in this world, that either are patting themselves on the back for it, maybe some preacher somewhere on the back for it, or maybe some group giving them the credit. Let us never give anyone the praise and the honor and the glory that belongs solely to the Lord and what He's done for us. And may we always humble ourselves before one another and before Almighty God, and He will lift us up. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You say, I'm just poor in spirit. Well, good. Because He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. You know why? You have the kingdom of heaven. And if you have the kingdom of heaven, you have righteousness, which is the imputed righteousness of Christ. You have joy. Joy you don't even understand. Why am I happy? I got everything wrong. Why would I be happy? Because Jesus is in your heart. And Jesus is in your life. And Jesus one day is going to take you out of this old world and be with Him forever in glory. And He'll be with you until that very end. And He's promised never to leave you or forsake you. Righteousness, joy, and peace. Peace you don't even understand why you got. It passes understanding. That's a peace that He is our peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And He's in our hearts. May we give Him the glory and the honor and the praise. I appreciate your kind attention tonight.
Love you, my brother. God bless you. That's all right.